If you knew him like I know him, somebody would clap their hands. Somebody would stomp their feet. Somebody would lift up their voice. Come on, you need a healing. You need deliverance. You need a...
You better stop with that. You better stop with that. Woo!
Listen, I don't know what you came to do. I don't know what you expected out of this service. But I want somebody to know there's clarity in the house of God. He's going to open up some eyes, some spiritual eyes, to see exactly what it is God has for you.
All right now. All right. All right. I feel like I'm at home. I told Pastor before church, I said, this feels just like home to me. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to be myself today.
I'm not trying to paint no pretty picture. I've been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Without him, I wouldn't have breath in my body. Without him, I wouldn't have strength in my legs. Without him, I would not have purpose or direction. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that in him there's fullness of joy. In him there's newness. In him there's something better than what this world could ever offer me.
My God Almighty. If you were not here, I just want to be quick. If you were not here for Bible study, if you were not here for Sunday school, you missed out.
This atmosphere doesn't just happen by itself. Come on, somebody. Did you put on your garment of praise? I would say yes. Because what I feel in the house is a product of God's people coming together in unity, worshiping the one who gave us ability to move and operate according to his will and his promise. When we come into the house of God, we don't come as those that are defeated. We come in as victors of Jesus Christ. So when I get my praise on, when I stomp my feet just a little bit, please understand it's not because I don't face issues or problems. It's because his power is greater than anything that you can experience anywhere else. Come on, church family, clap your hands unto the Lord.
Now, seriously, you do got to stop. Because listen, I've been working out, and I can do this for 45 minutes. Believe me. But I believe there's somebody here. God has spoken to me very clearly 2 days ago. There's a word for somebody, and it's simply this. You're about to receive clarity. 2 days ago, I lifted my head off the pillow. God said clarity. He spoke very clearly into my life as a word for this church. There's about to be some clarity. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. My God, before you're seated, I want to give honor to your pastor and his wife. Amen. I'm so thankful for Brother and Sister Brownie. Amen. I'm so thankful for Brother Chris and his family. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So, Sister Brownie has a gift for my wife. Everybody always gives gifts to my wife. It's... I'm so thankful for this family. They're great people. I don't know if young Jason is in here, but young Jason gave us a fantastic tour of the facility. I know everything about all of you because of young Jason. He let me know all of the stuff. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful to have my wife here. My older children are at home. Amen. They said, Daddy, can we go to our churches here? We want to be at our churches here. And I said, oh, that's good. That's good. We're doing something right. We're doing something right. Amen. Amen. But I have a 12-year-old that looks me eye to eye. He's all tall and he thinks he's swole. And I have to back him down every once in a while. And then I have a 17 going on 18 going on 30-year-old. Every once in a while, she believes she's my mother. And I have to let her know. But I'm thankful that she's at home. And I'm thankful for all of you. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to Acts chapter 1. Amen. And I want you to just listen. I know somebody here, you've been looking for some direction. You've been looking for some clarity. This is what God has given me. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Goes on to say, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the time or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus, I pray right now, God, that you would have your way in this place. What I feel such a strong presence Spirit. Lord, open our eyes, our spiritual eyes. Let there be a clarity. Lord God, let your word cut through the hearts of men. Pierce us with righteousness. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you love the Lord, clap your hands. Come on, somebody. If you love the Lord, clap your hands. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm pastoring in a very small community, actually in two small communities. We pastor in two churches. One is called Waupun, Wisconsin, the other Watertown. But I'm not from those small communities. I'm from this neck of the woods here in Milwaukee, more inner city, wherever my parents could find a spot is where we would reside for seasons, and then we would move to another couch or another basement, anywhere there was heat. And that is how we did life for the majority of my growing ups. My wife is from the great state of Alaska. Now, some of you may think she lived in an igloo. She did not. She is from a very large city, Anchorage, in which she lived in places that were a little more rough than places that I grew up. And so we are unique in the sense that we did not grow up in this truth that God found us. Amen. My wife was 17 years old when God spoke to her heart, filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I was 16 years old chasing that young lady that God had spoke to and filled with his Holy Spirit. I chased her into the church and found something much greater. Something much greater. I fell in love with Jesus. And then I fell in love with her. And we are now 24 years later. Amen. Amen. Been married almost 20 years. She is... been by my side as we have we planted a church at 25 years old. We left that as a nice large church to take on a much smaller church. We've grown that church and we've taken on another church. And it's just kingdom work. It has nothing to do necessarily with me. It has everything to do with our witness. How many here believes that there is power in the Holy Ghost? But I want to bring some clarity to that scripture. The power is to be a witness. The power is to help us navigate how to lift him up so that all people would be drawn to him. Listen, in the day that Jesus Christ walked on the earth, the focus of the disciples and many from the religious sect was the second coming of Jesus Christ, or the second coming of the Lord. They were looking for the Messiah to liberate them and their people. However, when Jesus came, they missed him because he was more focused on souls. He was more focused on the eternity than he was the temporal. It wasn't necessarily about the physical bondage of people. It was more about alleviating the bondage of the soul, because Jesus understood that if you alleviate the bondage of the soul, those chains that bind us in the physical will have to be loosed, because God can do what we cannot do on our own. After the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have this outpouring of a promise. This baptism of the Holy Ghost was a very common experience in the early Christian church. We know, as apostolics believer, that this experience is available to absolutely anyone that would find themselves in position of submission. Now, many times we don't like to hear the word submission because it has a negative connotation. However, when we find ourselves submitted to the things of God, we place ourselves in position to be his children and to receive the blessings and to receive the promises and to operate in the power. Come on, somebody, don't give up on me just yet. We got just a little bit more time here. God wants to do something. He's about to make it very clear. There's about to be some clarity. There is a need for us to fulfill purpose. Studies have shown that suicide rates are so high because people lose their identity and they lose their purpose. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. And if I went around the room and handed the microphone, many of you would say, yes, I know that. Where we need clarifying is our purpose. Because if I was to take the microphone around the room and ask each one of you what your purpose is, many of you would have to think about it. What is our purpose? At 16 years old, when I came into the church, that was much of my question. See, my father wasn't a great man. My mother was a hard worker. She made up for both of them. We did our best to move through and to survive in different situations. I thought my purpose was just to merely survive. To make sure that I wasn't being kicked out of apartments and making sure I had a vehicle that ran. That was pretty much my purpose at that stage of life. But then Jesus gets a hold of me. And he starts to do the work that, again, nobody else can do. And I start to see for the very first time that a power was given to me not simply to operate for myself, but to be a witness. I was 25 years old when we started our first church. I was under submission to a great man by the name of Jack Yance. Jack Yance II, somebody knows him? Okay. Come on, somebody. That was my mentor, my friend. She said she got the Holy Ghost with Jack Yance. Amen. Amen, amen. Isn't that cool how things work that way? Jack Yance was the first individual to pour into me something more. And so we started a church. I was 25 years old. We were going to church in the morning, and then we would do our afternoon service, and we go back to church at night. And then we had our Wednesday night service, and then our Thursday night service, and then I was also the youth guy, so I would do a Friday night service. And I'm telling you all this because sometimes people look and they go, oh, the guy just wears tennis shoes. But it was for a purpose. I was doing all those church services, and we would have to set up and tear down, and we had speakers and all the stuff that makes church happen, right? And so I would be in dress shoes for 12 hours sometimes on a Sunday, and then you know, 3 to 4 hours on Wednesday and Thursday, and then dress shoes on Friday. And I thought, this is insane. So what I would do is I would pack tennis shoes with me to do the tear down and the setups and the goings and comings and things of that nature. Well, one day I walked into Sunday night service, and I forgot to change out of my tennis shoes and put my dress shoes back on, and nobody said anything. Now, I was born in the 80s, but I grew up in the 90s, and I watched Michael Jordan through his tremendous run as a basketball player, and so I collected Jordan shoes. And so I got to thinking, if I wear really nice shoes, then they're still church shoes. I was diagnosed as a type 2 diabetic, so I literally, like, my feet would just be destroyed. And so I started wearing these tennis shoes, and after a little while, some folks actually kind of thought it was neat. And it wasn't that I was trying to draw attention to myself. I just didn't want to go home and be a big crybaby about my feet hurting all the time. And then I had an opportunity to wear all these neat shoes that I had collected through the years. And it kind of stuck, because what was happening is every time that I would go to do something, I would see people go, "Oh, you're the guy that wears the tennis shoes. I was ordained in Jordan number ones." The shoes that I'm currently wearing, I received my doctorate in when I walked across the stage. I found an identity in Jesus Christ, and I was starting to see purpose for my life. I want to be very clear that the best things that I have in this world, I've never deserved. I don't deserve Jesus. I don't deserve that power. I didn't deserve for the chains to be broken in the spiritual and then start to break in the very physical world. I didn't deserve a wife who is faithful, and I didn't deserve children who are healthy and love God. I didn't deserve any positions that I hold within the United Pentecostal Church, but these are the best things in my life. It's given me purpose. It's given me purpose. The dear sister who spent years and years teaching in our Sunday schools, please understand that those years that you committed to God, that was purpose. And young people were forever changed, and now you have adults that have been taught by somebody that was Holy Ghost filled, somebody that had a purpose in their life. Please understand, church family, you have a purpose in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we wouldn't need the power. Power to overcome weakness. To have strength, to be our comfort. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. Because we have purpose. Because we are His children. My youngest son has struggled being the youngest because he's trying to find his place. My daughter sings like an angel, and I don't just say that. I mean, she's incredible. God has gifted her. And so she's always kind of had that identity, and then her purpose has been, you know, kind of shoved in that direction where, you know, she ministers in song. I remember her teaching her first Bible study at like 8 years old, and then the young person comes to the church and gets the Holy Ghost in children's church. And so she has this purpose, and my son, you know, he's awkward. 12 years old, looking here with an Adam's apple. He had me shave his upper lip because kids are making fun of him at school for having the little baby mustache. We were driving in the vehicle just a couple months ago, and he said, "Daddy." I said, "Yes, son." He goes, do I have to be a preacher? And I said, no, son, you don't. He goes, oh, good. I don't want to get up there and talk in front of people. I said, son, you don't have to be a preacher behind a pulpit. I said, my only expectation for you is to be a light for Jesus Christ, to be a witness, that over your coffee table at home someday, that maybe on your work site, maybe in a vehicle with a friend, that you would speak up for the cause of Jesus Christ, that you would be his witness, son. I don't need you to get behind a pulpit. I simply need you to operate with purpose. And he looked at me and he said, Daddy, I can do that. I can do that. And I said, son, yes, you can, because you have power. I want to bring clarity to somebody right now. You may never step behind a pulpit at a church house, but please know that your coffee table, your dinette set, your automobile, on the internet, I don't care. You have an opportunity to operate with purpose for the cause of Jesus Christ. You want to see this church grow? Open your mouth. You want to see this church move in the direction that you've been praying for? Speak the word. It's your purpose. It's what God created you to be a mouthpiece for him, to lift him up in Jesus' name. I want to bring some context, because some of you are saying, you don't know me, preacher. No, I don't. But I know people. I know people. I'm going to give you some context. Before conversion, the disciples were carnal. They were carnal human beings. It shouldn't come as a surprise. These are human folks. I mean, the Lord reveals his need to die for the sins of the world. Peter, you know, Peter, the guy that was given the keys to the kingdom, the one who preaches the sermon on the day of Pentecost, that's what we talk about. Hey, he rebukes the Lord. Everybody say, oops. Thank you. Matthew 16, 22 and 23. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. He was trying to strip Jesus Christ of his purpose. Carnality. But he turned and he said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. See, Peter was operating in carnality. Folks operated in the flesh at times. It's okay, church family. Let yourself off the hook. You're going to operate as human beings sometimes. The idea is to make that the exception, not the rule. These folks could get aggressive. This was my problem. As an aggressive individual, always starting something with somebody that was bigger than me, because I was very small. I finally grew my junior to senior year. But I would pick fights with guys that were bigger than me because I had an issue. I was carnal. I had problems. I didn't have purpose. There was no identity. These guys could get aggressive because before Jesus Christ, there was no purpose. There was no identity. I'm just trying to bring clarity to the house of God today. John chapter 18, verse 10 and 11. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Can you believe that? Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Again, you can't pull my purpose from me. You know what he was telling Peter? He's saying, Peter, at some point you're going to have purpose and nobody's going to be able to take it from you. See, Jesus was the ultimate example. Pete, you're not going to steal my purpose, because I need you to know that someday you're going to be able to stand on the rock. And on that rock, you're going to declare. And you're going to bring clarity to people's lives. Because some tough questions are going to be asked, but you're going to know that when you stand on the rock, that nobody is going to be able to take your purpose from you. Check this one out. Luke chapter 9, 51 through 55. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him,
because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. They wanted to burn folks up. Burn them, Lord! They aren't going to receive you, kill them. Now, I know there are children in the room, but please understand, I've smelt burning flesh before. It's horrible. It's a horrible thing. These men were privy to how Romans would treat certain individuals at certain times. They knew what this looked like. They smelled the smells. They saw the images, yet they were still willing to ask God incarnate to burn folks up. Carnality. But Jesus began to show compassion in the midst of carnality to display purpose. I cannot be more emphatic when I say that the Holy Ghost has not been given to us to be divisive, to be mean, to be jerks, to be right all the time. That is not why God has given us His Spirit. I'd rather lose an argument than lose a soul. So you let the world have their arguments about this, that, or the other thing. I'm going to let them operate in their carnality because they don't have what I have. But please know that in my identity and with the purpose that God has placed within me, I'm going to let compassion supersede my need to be correct or to be right. Just trying to bring some clarity. I told my church, and again, I feel like I'm at home, so I'm just gonna be transparent here. I told my church family from the pulpit in one of my churches, I said, if I hear one more conversation about politics in this house of God, you think turning over tables was rough? When we come into the house of God, this is a house of prayer. This is a house in which we shed the carnality, in which we operate in the Holy Ghost, where we take a stand for righteousness, where we love people, because that's what Jesus did. Listen, Jesus' idea of power was not displayed through physical accomplishments. He fills his disciples with his spirit to be harmless. Yet we operate with more power and authority than any other ruler that has ever walked the face of this planet. Philippians 3:10-11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Hello. Being made comfortable unto death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, I have a purpose that is greater. You have a purpose that is greater. Some of us need a change of heart. I still consider myself a young man. I'm getting a little more gray hair, a little slower. It aches to get out of bed. More cracking and popping than what I'm used to. I used to try to prove myself. I used to try to be something more than really what God wanted me to be. And it left me in a state of competition with my brothers and my sisters. But church family, that is not our purpose. Our purpose is to walk together, arm in arm. To be linked to the same plow together. To move forward in the calling, that high calling. Acts 1 and 8, but ye shall receive power to share our witness. To love those that are deemed unlovable. John 13, 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye love one to another. Now, I would love to take it out into the world and say, you just need to love people. And I think that is a right statement. But first, we need to start loving each other. I mean, before I'm going to task you to love the world, let me first challenge you to love your brother, to love your sister. Let me challenge you to love your pastor and his wife, to cover them in prayer, to cover them with fasting, to cover them with anointing. Listen, your pastor and his wife have taken up a challenging task to pastor you. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. We all need pastors in our lives. I've got a pastor. I'm submitted to my pastor. I pray for my pastor. I love my pastor. By loving those you go to church with, it will help you love those that are unlovable. And then we'll be doing what God has purposed us to do. By loving people, we identify with Christ. Ephesians 4:3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Fruit. Are we bearing fruit? I'm just trying to bring some clarity today. See, we shout about Holy Ghost power. But what you have to understand is that with that power, there is an expectation to operate according to His will. His will is that we bear fruit. Be peaceable. See, when we display the fruit of the Spirit, we're demonstrating the presence of Him who resides within us. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Nothing. Check this out. Colossians 1:10-12, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. See, I'm heaven bound. I have an inheritance. And so when I walk, I have to walk in obedience to the one that provides the inheritance so that I can display his will through the purpose that he's placed within me. The disciples responded to the call of Christ through their obedience. Remember when I talked about submittance a little bit earlier? They obeyed by waiting on the Lord to prepare them to fulfill his call. Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. 120 went to an upper room,
fed thousands with fishes and loaves, preached to thousands good news, but only 120 were willing to obey. But those that did found strength and purpose. Acts 2, 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, most of us know this, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all. Everybody say all. Not some. All were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, Jesus commands and commissions his disciples to reach the lost, to fulfill the commandments, to move in holiness, to operate in righteousness. But he gives us a power to do so. And he will confirm these things with miraculous signs and wonders. Let's stand together. Purpose. Let me give you a little clarity. Mark chapter 16, 19 through 20. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, check this out, and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. There's an agreement at the end of that. Amen. These carnal individuals found identity and purpose. There was a moment of clarity. There was a Damascus Road experience. Anybody here have one of those moments? I've had a few moments of clarity. One was when I was 16 years old and I knew I was going to marry that girl. I knew it. I knew it right away. It was a moment of clarity. I'm not just saying that to be cute. I'm serious. I knew. It was a moment of clarity. I had a moment of clarity when I saw my firstborn child. I said, I've never known love like this. There was a moment of clarity. There was clarity when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There was clarity when God called me to preach the word. There was a clarity. A moment in time that changed everything. I believe that, look, it may not be all of you here this morning, but I know what God spoke to me. Somebody here was asking God for clarity. And I want you to know that there is a purpose for your life. Those moments when you're sitting at home trying to decide whether you're going to continue to live or whether you're going to end it. I want somebody under the sound of my voice to hear this. God has a plan and a purpose to be a witness of his mercy, his compassion, his grace. If you've been seeking this Holy Ghost, this infilling of God's Spirit, I want you to know that today is your day. I know that there's going to be a baptism here in just a little while, and we're going to celebrate with that individual that goes down into the watery grave, but I want you to know that God wants that for you. But before we get there, please know that there is a place, and let me be very clear. There's a place at the feet of Jesus to find forgiveness. A place in which you simply ask God to take your sin. to make you whole. Please don't miss this opportunity. And I understand that there is sickness going around, so please, if you don't feel comfortable up front here, I want you just to lift your hands where you're at. For those that feel comfortable, you can make your way to this altar. But I want you to know that display of lifting your hands right now is a sign to God. God, I'm surrendering. I'm surrendering. Maybe it's been a little while since you've had that conversation. Maybe it's been a little bit since you've had that moment. But please know God is speaking to the hearts of His people. If you've experienced that wonderful power of His Spirit, I want you to begin to operate. I want you to begin to operate. There's giftings that have been gifted here. Lord, right now I ask in Jesus' name that you begin to forgive. Lord God, those that are seeking forgiveness, Lord, I pray that you extend your hand of forgiveness in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, if you're seeking, just begin to lift up your voice. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you.